We are learning Tanya by the Alter Rebbe. We are basically in the beginning of chapter 8. Chapter 8, it's a continuation of chapter 7, which makes sense. 8 comes after 7. In chapter 7, the Alter Rebbe was talking about something called Klipas Noiga, a brilliant shell, which is an intermediate level between Kedusha, holiness, and Klipa, complete impurity. This is something intermediate. And then the Alter Rebbe started explaining about tshuva, about repentance. What happens when a person does something bad, so to speak, evil, according to the laws of the Torah, and so on, and the livelihood, the energy, godly energy, went down into impurity, and now he wants to bring it up. So certain things, you can actually do tshuva, you can actually repent, and take out this livelihood, this energy, godly energy from impurity and put it back into its place, so to speak, connected to holiness. Good. But certain things you can't do tshuva. You can't repent. Why? Because that energy became already a physical thing, like in forbidden relationships, and a baby is born, and what are you going to do? You're going to kill the baby, it's impossible, and so on. And then that was the end of chapter 7. And then the beginning of chapter 8, the Alter Rebbe continued talking about forbidden foods. What happened when a person, for Jews, of course, it's a forbidden food. For non-Jews, the only forbidden food is a piece of an animal that was cut out while the animal was still alive. That's the only forbidden food. The rest, you can eat whatever you want, including pork, whatever. You can eat whatever you want. Now, the Alter Rebbe mentioned in the beginning of chapter 8, that the reason why certain things cannot go up into Kedusha, into holiness, is because they're tied into impurity. And when a person, again, does tshuva, you can untie this thing from impurity and put it back, bring it up again into purity. Ach, we're in the beginning, basically, of page 13. Ach, mikol makom kodem shechasa likedusha usitra achra beklipa. However, all the time that a person did not do tshuva and ate or did this thing that is forbidden, this energy did not come back into holiness and is still tied into impurity. Here comes the novelty, so to speak, of chapter 8. Even afterwards, when a person already did tshuva, he repented, there's a mark, so to speak, of this transgression that gets attached to the body. Because in each food and drink that a person eats and drinks and so on, it becomes quickly part of your own blood and part of your own flesh. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe is going to say, how do you take it out? And before saying this, it's very simple what's going on. When you're talking about a simple, quote-unquote, simple transgression, okay, so the person did something outside of him, so to speak, and now you do tshuva, you repent, and you take out the energy that you invested from yourself by doing this, because you were using your body to do this transgression. There was an energy over there, and you were doing a transgression with something, with an object, so there's an energy of that object that went down into impurity. And now you put it up, okay, tshuva, repentance, very nice. But over here, something that was forbidden became part of your body, part of yourself, of your blood. It's going all around your body, this forbidden thing. So you do tshuva, okay, I did tshuva, very nice. But the physical part of this thing, this object that you ate, is still going around your body. It's still over there. Even though the spiritual energy went up again, very nice, but still there's a mark. Your body grew out of something forbidden. And that's a physical thing. It doesn't go away. Even if you do tshuva, even if you repent, it's still there. Velochen, now the Alter Rebbe explains, so what do you do about it? Lochen, tzadich aguf lechibut hakeber, lenakoyse letare mitumose, shikibe bana asela maazevet hainugaf, mitumas klipas noiga, veshen yehudain. Therefore, the body when a person passes away after 120 years and so on, needs chibut akeber. Chibut literally means being hit, like somebody hitting you in the grave. It's a spiritual thing, it's not a material thing, but it is as if some angels or whatever, they would take the body and hit it around to clean the body and to purify the body from the impurity that it received because it had benefit from this world and from the pleasures of this world that were from Tumas Klipas Noiga. They were from this brilliant shell, Veshedin Yehudayin, and these Jewish demons that we spoke about in the previous chapter. Jewish demon, non-Jewish demon, when there is a pleasure, a person, a Jew, has pleasure on this world with something that is allowed, with a permitted thing. He ate something that was allowed to be eaten, but he did it just because of pleasure. So that's the Alter Rebbe called, in the words of the Zohar, of Kabbalah, whatever, Shadin Yehudain. That's a Jewish demon. And then he spoke about non-Jewish demon. That means a person that has pleasure, for instance, eating something forbidden. That's like a non-Jewish demon. So from the Jewish demons, that there's a mark in the body because a person had pleasure out of a physical thing from this body, from this world, I'm sorry. So the person needs to be cleaned. How is he cleaned? Chibut akever. So the body is going to suffer in the grave, basically. V'al dvarim betelim beheter. And when a person talks like stupid things, bottle means nullified literally, but how was the soccer game yesterday? Yeah, this player did. What's the usefulness for that? What's the Torah out of that? Nothing. Zero. So dvarim betelim is talking stupid things. Kegoin, for instance, ama ares sheino yachol lilmoit. Like a ignoramus, that he doesn't know how to learn Torah. So he also needs purification because he spent the whole life talking stupid things, irrelevant things. Tzarich letayer nafshoi mitumazu, the klipazu. This person is going to need to purify his soul from this impurity, from this shell, so to speak, al yedei gilgula bekaf hakela, by being, I don't know the exact translation in English, forget it, but kaf hakela means what David HaMelech used to kill Goliath. He took a thing and he threw a stone into this guy, okay, whatever it's called. That thing is called kaf hakela. Basically, they take the soul, since each word, like irrelevant and stupid word that a person spoke throughout all his life, gets like attached to the soul. So they take the soul and they throw it, boom, from one side of the world to the other side of the world. So this klipa, these shells and these stupid words get lost. They got to go away from the soul. This is basically what it means. It's written over there in the Zohar. So he already mentioned, the Alter Rebbe mentioned, two punishments, so to speak, which is really not the punishment itself. Really, rather, is the way of cleaning the soul and the body to go into a higher level. All the punishments in the Torah are not like God is angry at you and now I'm going to punish you. That doesn't make any sense. It's a stupid God. I don't need that God. The truth is, it's not myself saying I don't need that God. It's a story. I'm going to make it very short. Story by Levi Yitzchok of Berdichev. He was a colleague of the Alter Rebbe. There was a guy in Berdichev, in his city, that he didn't believe in Jew, he didn't believe in anything, he didn't care about anything. It was Rosh Hashanah, I think it was Rosh Hashanah, and the Jews blow the shofar, whatever that means. We make sounds of the shofar, this horn, and so on. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchok met this guy in the street, and he started talking to him, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? So long, no see, no time, so long, no time, etc. I haven't seen you in a long time. And he said to him, why don't you come to the shul? Let's blow the shofar. Let's hear the shofar. It's Rosh Hashanah. And the guy said to him, Rebbe, I respect you a lot. You're a very holy person and a very important person. And I really respect you, but I don't believe in God. That's what he said to the Rebbe. So why should I go to shul to listen to the horn? Whatever. I don't believe in God. And Levi Yitzchok of Berdichev looked at him and he said, the God you don't believe on, I also don't believe on. that God that you don't believe on, I don't believe in either. Yeah, definitely. Come to shul. I don't know what the end of the story was, if you went to shul or not to shul. But the point is, a God that is waiting for us to make mistakes, and he's waiting over there with a whip to punish us, and now you're going to see the wrath of the Lord. I don't believe in that God. I'm sorry. I don't need that God. He's a stupid God. If you already know that I'm going to make mistakes, why should you wait for me to make mistakes, to punish me and to hit me? So get out. That's not the Jewish God. Not at all. But whatever. Let's go back. So that's what the Alter Rebbe brought about how to clean the body from the marks of the pleasures of this world, and how to clean the soul from the marks of the stupid words that a person spoke all his life. However, there are other types of words, forbidden words, like making fun of people, lashon hara, bad tongue, evil tongue, and these kinds of words, Shen Mishalosh Klipas Atmeis Legamre, this is complete impurity. The three levels of impurity that the Alter Rebbe spoke about in chapter 6. En kafakela levadem moy letare lehavre tu maso me'a nefesh. It's not enough with this thing of throwing the soul from one side of the world to the other side of the world, which is a spiritual thing, of course. It's not enough to purify the soul and to take out the impurity of the soul. This soul is going to have to go down into purgatory. That's what Gehinnom is called. People say hell. In Judaism, we don't believe in hell. The idea of hell is, I'm going to punish you and you're going to suffer. For what? No, because I have to venge my honor, says God. So you'll be punished. That doesn't make any sense in Judaism. The reason why we have Gehinnom, which is a purgatory, like a purgatory, is in order to be clean, to go into Gan Eden, to the paradise. Same thing happens with a person that could be learning Torah, and instead of that, he's doing stupid things, reading the newspapers and so on. It's not enough with this punishment of being thrown from one side of the world to the other and so on, to clean the soul and to purify the soul. Rather, there's going to have to be specific punishments, harsh punishments that are specific for not learning Torah. In addition to the general punishment for not keeping a positive mitzvah. Why didn't you do it? Because you're atzlan. Atzlan means in Hebrew like a person that doesn't want to do anything. Yeah, tomorrow I'll see what I do. Maybe I wake up. Maybe I don't wake up. Okay. And it's going to have punishment. Begehinam shem shelek, in a gehinam purgatory of ice, which is like a cold. You were cold towards God, so you're going to have a punishment of coldness. As it's explained in some other books, whatever. There's a book, Reshis Chochma, by Eliyahu Devidas. That's the author, Reshis Chochma, has a whole list of Sheva Medure Geinam, the seven places of purgatory. In each one, what's the punishment applied over there, to which kind of people. That's a whole list of things. Very funny. The same thing happens with a person that learns and goes into the wisdoms of the idolaters. Bichlal dvarim betelim yechashev leinyan oven bitul Torah. That's considered like stupid words, stupid things, compared, taking into account, better said, taking into account the sin of not learning Torah. You could have been learning Torah. Instead of that, you went to learn medicine. The Alter Rebbe is going to explain in a minute about the Rambam and other sages that learned medicine. But let's go step by step. So first of all, the Alter Rebbe says, wait a second, you could be learning Torah, and you're using the same time to learn what? To learn, again, medicine, engineering. What are you doing? Go learn Torah. So you're going to be punished. As it's written in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Kodesh Yerushalayim, in the laws of learning Torah. Ve'oid zois now. Now that we spoke about wisdom, there's something special about it. It's not just learning something else. Like, for instance, how was the team of soccer and how many goals did they do? There's something more. Over here, we're learning wisdom. What about it? Oid zois yeseida mitumasa shel chochmes ha'umos of the gilulim al tumas dvarim betelim. There's an additional impurity in the wisdom of the world, of the nations of the world, like mathematics and engineering and whatever it is, medicine. There's an additional impurity compared to the impurity of stupid words, of stupid things. She'einu malbishu metame rak middeis miyaseid haruach hakodesh, hakodesh, shebenav she'elokis, betumas klipas noiga shebedvarim beteilim. Habayim, it's like a long phrase. Miyaseid haruach hara shebeklipas zu, benav she'abamis, kedele'eil. When a person is learning or talking stupid things, not wisdom, just stupid things, you're only investing and impurifying the emotions, midos, the emotions that come from a holy spirit of your holy divine soul. You're investing that into the impurity of klipas noiga, of this brilliant shell, because after all, okay, a soccer game is a stupid thing, but it's not a bad thing, like, let's kill somebody. No, that's bad already. So it's just a soccer game, whatever, this player, that player. So over here, by talking stupid things, you're investing your holy soul into klipas noiga, into a brilliant shell. In that is the source, actually, this brilliant shell, of the stupid words that you're saying. And these stupid words comes from Ruach Hara, from the air, so to speak, element air. The Alter Rebbe spoke about this in the first chapter. There are four elements and so on. I'm not going to explain the whole thing. In this klipa, you're investing again your holy soul, your divine soul, you're impurifying it in the impurity of klipas noiga, of the stupid things you're saying, together with your animal soul, because it's your animal soul that the one that enjoys the soccer game and the stupid words and the newspapers and so on. So you are impurifying only your emotions. That's the point. Besides the translation, that's the point. But you're not impurifying your intellect. Because you're just, whatever, you don't have to be so smart to know that this player made a goal and the other one won and this one lost. It's not a smart thing. It's just emotions. Because you're only dealing with stupid words and ignoramus things. Because also the stupid people and the ignorant people can also talk about this. So, okay, you're impurifying your emotions. Of the gilulim, which is not the case with the wisdom of the nations. Now we are talking about something smart, like engineering and medicine and so on. You're impurifying the intellect, chokhmah bin das, wisdom and so on, the intellect of the divine soul, betumas klipas noiga, in the impurity of this brilliant shell, shebechochmois eilu, on this, the brilliant shell that is on these wisdoms. So a person is learning mathematics, or whatever, chemistry, physics, and so on. That's not something bad, and it's not something holy either. So it's klipas noiga, it's an intermediate level, which is described in chapter 7. So this guy took his divine soul that could have been learning Torah, and instead of learning Torah, he put it into learning these wisdoms. So he put his wisdom into this, because you have to be smart to understand what the mathematics say, what the physics and chemistry, and so on. Shenaflu shama, these ideas, this wisdom, fell there. Bishvira sakelim, I'm not going to explain what this means, it's a Kabbalistic thing, but whatever the case is, it's a low place. And this is also the back part of the holy wisdom, as it's known by those who learn Kabbalah. So what's the Alter Rebbe saying over here? The Alter Rebbe is saying, look, Wisdom, after all, is wisdom. It doesn't come from stupidity. You have to be wise to have wisdom. So if these things are called wisdom, mathematics and chemistry and so on, they're called wisdom, and you have to be wise, they have to come up to a certain point from holy wisdom. But this is the back part of holy wisdom that fell down very low and so on. Into klipas noiga, this brilliant shell. So a person putting his mind into this wisdom, you're really going down into the back part of the wisdom and so on. So let's not learn mathematics and let's not learn physics and so on. Ela im ken, unless, unless you make of them an axe to cut. What is he saying? Dehainu. That means, kedelis parnes meyen berevach. You're learning these wisdoms in order to have parnasa, sustenance, in an amplitude, like big parnasa. Lavoy Hashem, and that's going to allow you to serve God. So if I can sustain my family, because I know physics or whatever, so I sustain my family with this wisdom, and then I can have my time to learn Torah. Ah, so then it's okay. Then go learn. And you're not impurifying yourself, because you're using that wisdom to serve God, actually. Or maybe you know how to use directly these wisdoms to serve God. Like, not that you're learning in order to sustain yourself, and afterwards you're going to learn Torah. No. You're using the wisdom, this is the second level. You're using the wisdom to serve God. How can you use this wisdom to serve God? For instance, Rambam, he was an astronomer, he understood the stars and the moon and so on, so he used that wisdom in order to describe how to calculate the new month and so on. Or le-toirosoi, or you use this wisdom for your own Torah. I remember a very short story. Whatever, I learned electronics also, so I knew certain things in mathematics. So I remember learning with a guy a piece of Talmud, and the Talmud was defining how to know, when there's a river and a piece of land, how to know the area of this piece of land if you have a river. If it's a square, it's pretty easy, but if it's a river over there, it's kind of more difficult. So the Rashi had a long, long description of something that in Spanish is called integrals. In mathematics, you take like small pieces of land, and you measure each one of them, then you add up, and you get the area with an irregular shape. Vezeu taimo shel Rambam beRamban. So Rashi also knew this. Mathematics. Yeah, but he used it in order to explain Talmud. And this is the reason why Maimonides, Rambam, Ramban, Nachmanides, and all of them, all the rest of their group, so to speak, they used to learn these wisdoms. Because they used them for a holy purpose.